We do want this to be a city-wide move of God. We're not looking for this church just to grow, which it will. We're looking for all the churches in town that are actually preaching the gospel, standing in faith, believing the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're believing for all of the churches in town to grow. So please stay in faith with us. Don't allow in any way any kind of us or our attitude to come upon us. We want all the churches to be blessed. So every Friday night and every Sunday night, Steve Smith will be doing the ministry. He'll be leading some of the worship, doing the ministry of the word, and praying for people. That's Tuesday, every Friday and Sunday. Then every Saturday morning at 9 and every Tuesday evening at 7. All our evening meetings in the future are going to be at 7, except Saturday. Don't want to confuse you, but we've been doing it at 6:30 for a couple of years. But the Saturday morning and Tuesday evening meeting is what we call in the Kingston Fire School of Ministry. And the purpose is, there's been tremendous impartation. Yesterday morning, who was here yesterday morning? Yesterday morning, there were 65 people here for the School of Ministry. 65 people. Now, that is tremendous, and I just want to encourage all of you. There's a $20 registration. That's because what we're doing is we're building what we call a war chest. We're building a war chest so that we can begin to put money in a separate account so that we, whatever expenses are needed, we just don't know what's going to happen in the future. We want to be prepared. We want to enable ourselves to be able to see that God when he speaks to us to do something, we don't have to hesitate because of finances. This is a very important thing that we want to do. So again, the School of Ministry, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, Tuesday night at 7. And there's no registration Tuesday, but I'd encourage you to come because it was powerful yesterday, powerful. In fact, I was going to ask Bob Iannuso to come up and share a testimony, but he's out preaching this morning as well, praise God. So it's exciting what God's doing, that even the young men in our church, I mean, how old's Bob, 22 or something, something aged? He's out there, but the power of God hit Bob yesterday morning. It was an awesome experience. And so also did Sal. Is Sal here? Sal, why don't you come and share something with us this morning about, Can't make it. Blooming drunk. Just amazing. Sean, coming out. Come and share. We had a race here yesterday morning. Because what it was Steve said, who has never moved in the Word of Knowledge before? So about 30 people put their hands up and said, it's too many to work with. And he kind of turned around and said, well, the first three up here, well, I'll work with them. And there was this race coming down the aisle, you know, kicking and pushing and shoving, you know. And Sean came running down this aisle. He got here a little delayed, but he was the fourth one. But thank God in the kingdom of God, they don't stop handing out medals at the bronze.
Oh, I thought it was a flat-footed time myself. But if I was one more row behind, I wouldn't have made it. All I know is once we finally gave up here and Steve called us forward, he said, all right, we'll take all four. And I didn't even get that far up there, and God was on me. I mean, I was just, and he just said, I'm going to impart something to you. You're going to be on the floor for a while. It's like, okay. I was already getting hit, so I knew I was going down anyway. So he imparted, I don't even remember what he said. I'm like, I was just on the floor, and he just started speaking over us. And he said, when you get up, you're going to have a word for somebody. And as soon as I got up, I was on fire right in here, and I knew there was something in terms of gastrointestinal, somewhere along those lines, they went and got somebody. Somebody evidently had walked out. someone ran out and got, and just God touched her, and I don't know whether she's here or not, but it was just an amazing, powerful time. Powerful time with Bob, everybody.
Yeah, it was awesome. I want to encourage you because then, Sal, I'm not going to pay any attention. No, you didn't want to come up. Who else was there? Michelle was here. Michelle was one of the four. And the wonderful thing was, is she not only got it, she said, somebody has a problem with their back. He said, you think it's not your back, it's your kidneys. And then he says, also, I get the word 3 weeks. And sure enough, somebody was in the crowd. It was John. I don't know John. He has had trouble. He's been to the doctor, and he's had problem with his kidneys for 3 weeks. So that's a pretty accurate word of knowledge. And that came from Michelle, who's, you know, and then she laid hand. But the most fun, now, I'll be honest with you, we do have a lot of fun. You know, part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bring us joy, right? So even when he's touching people, he's bringing us joy in that. And Bob was over here trembling like a leaf, man. He looked like a leaf in October, you know. Oh, I don't want to fall off. And he's standing there. And he said, there's somebody here. He said, it's a fear that grips you inside. And the person jumped up, ran out, and never got to Bob. They leapt over a body and hit the deck. And it was powerful. But the thing was, the beautiful thing was, this is what I want to encourage you in. Bob knew, right? He's never done this before. Bob knew they never got it. You know, like Jesus prayed for someone and they saw trees. The guy was blind. He prayed for him. He said, can you see? He said, well, no, I see like men walking, like trees walking. And Jesus prayed for him the second time. See, Bob picked that up in his spirit. He already knew. He'd already been open to the spirit. And so Bob then said, no, and other things started happening. But I saw Bob chasing this guy up the aisle to lay hands on him again and to give him what God had given to Bob for him. Bam, he hit the deck again, praise God. So I want to encourage you that these things are happening. So I say, we'll be here Tuesday night. And then every Friday and Sunday night, Steve is going to minister and impart the power of God. And this is what we're doing. So, there's plenty of other things I could talk about, lots of other testimonies. But I'm going to teach a little bit on the Spirit this morning because I think it's essential that we understand from a biblical platform what's going on. Just want to say this before I receive this morning's tithes and offerings, and that is this. Our culture is not a spiritual culture. The Lord's pressing me to say this a lot. Our culture is not a spiritual culture. South America, they're a spiritual culture. Definitely Asia, all of Africa. You know, everything in their world is spiritual. The best we are is horoscopes and superstition. It's about as spiritual as we get. So therefore, we're not even in our intellect in tune with spirit possibilities. So remembering this, the Bible says that is seen is temporary. Now, I've seen a few things with these eyes. It's all temporary. According to the book that Peter wrote, it's all going to burn up. I actually do believe that. I do believe there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. If that's hard to believe, then obviously you don't believe God created it in the first place. So if he created it in the first place, it ain't going to be very hard for him to zap the earth and fix a new one, is it? You might see what I mean. You see, spiritual thinking begins to bring the possibilities into our daily life. And we have daily problems. And most all of the time, it's spiritual. Now, of course, if you're just a bonehead, then, you know, the scripture does say, if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. For instance, if you abuse your body, there's no good blaming the devil when your body breaks down. Right, so that's not necessarily a spiritual thing. Smith Wigglesworth once prayed for two men. He said, God wants to heal the deaf, and the two men came up. One, he prayed for a miracle. The other one, he rebuked a spirit. Because there is a deaf spirit, and there is physical problems with eardrums. And this is why you have to discern and get to know the spirit, and don't always pray for a person the same thing, even though it's the same problem. I can't hear. Yours is a physical, yours is a spiritual. And these things are why we need to understand the spirit world. And it's for all of us. On the day of Pentecost, he said, I will pour my spirit on all flesh. That is no respect to persons. But we're not spirit people. We're carnal people. We are earthly people. We are of the earth, earthly. And until we understand that that that's born of the flesh is flesh, and that that's born of the spirit is spirit. That's why the scripture talks about having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. Anyone who's near my age knows that the seed we were born of is corruptible. It begins to creak in the mornings. Some of you may be all day, but we can pray for you too. Helen Chabot, wave at us, Helen. Helen, she's been crazy. Anyway, one of heaven's, I'm thinking of buying her a leather jacket with heaven's angels on the back. But, praise God. She said that, you know, she came up for prayer at the beginning of the revival, and then she got sick with something else, sinuses, and she was at home, I think, cleaning the bathroom floor when she suddenly went, wait a minute, what am I doing on my knees? I don't have arthritis anymore. You know, and God had healed her arthritis in her knees because she's been yielding to the Spirit. See, the scripture says you become a servant or a slave to whomever you yield your members to obey. So when you yield to the flesh, you are of the flesh earthly. But when you yield to your spirit, then your spirit man is prominent. And I'm saying this because the decision of all this is neither in the flesh or in the spirit. It's in the soul. It's in your own intellect, your own will, and your own emotions. This is why it's essential for us to understand that God, when you get born again, your spirit is bam, brand new. Old things have passed away, brand new. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you're one spirit with the Lord when you're born again. But your soul, the scripture says, that received the engrafted word with all meekness, with all teachableness, received the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. So but I thought I was saved. Yeah, your spirit's saved. But your will and your emotions and your intellect aren't saved. Are we okay? And so that's why, by the word, by prayer, by ministry, your soul, here we go, your soul begins to agree with your spirit. Unless you choose to agree with your flesh. So it's really quite simple if you've been preaching for 30 years. But you missed that bit. It should be quite easy to grasp. It's really that simple. This is why the Bible talks so much about choosing in the valley of decision. Multitudes and choose. When they came into the promised land, God spoke to Moses. Said, was it Moses or Josh? Anyway, one of them guys. We'll see him later, a few years. Might be around now. Do you know the Bible says that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses? Now, getting back to the unseen world, the scripture is very clear. It says we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We use the word crowd because it's a lot of people. How the heck many people is a cloud? That's a crowd on steroids, right, Tom? A cloud. Think about this right now. There's radio waves going right through this room. Right through your head, there's radio waves, TV waves, in operation in this room right now, but you can't see them. And we scientifically can prove that. But there's a spirit realm going on that can't be seen in this room right now. Angels, cloud of witnesses. All this is going on right now in this room. And all you can do and all I can do is see each other in these chairs. So that's why we need to understand how we can drop into our spirit man and begin to understand this is going on all the time. Another thing I want to think of, I'm just trying to give these instructions to help you. You know, if you feel uninvolved or uninvited, this is what we're doing here this morning. In Matthew 18, I love this. You know, I've got five children. When they were little, I needed this verse. It says, Jesus talking, it says that in heaven, their angels are forever beholding the face of my Father who is in heaven. You mean to tell me, Jesus, that every one of our children has angels, plural? Minimum two, maybe a dozen, I don't know. Think about this. In heaven, Jesus said it, therefore it's true. In heaven, their angels are forever beholding the face of my Father in heaven. So if they have angels, when do we outgrow our angels? Huh? Oh, well, son, you're 16, now you can drive a car. I guess you don't need angels anymore. Wait a minute. More angels, please. Huh? Oh, you're 18, now you can vote. You can join the Marines. I guess now you're a big boy. Now you don't need any more angels. Oh, whoop, he's going to Iraq. Angels, give him a hand here. Can you see what I'm saying? What? When do now you're 21. You can even have a beer. Now we need more angels. On. You see what's going on all the time? Is we, in this non-spiritual culture, we forget this is going on round about us all the time. And it's essential. It's essential. Did you notice a difference in the room when I started talking about this? Could you sense the reality as everybody's spirits are suddenly picking it up and going, okay. Because your soul now is being renewed by the word. And so therefore your soul, your mind, is beginning to agree with your spirit man instead of your flesh. And I want to encourage you. And it's the same, we need to receive tithes and offerings. We've had a phenomenal amount of expenses since we started this revival. And God's always been faithful to us in this church, but I want to invite you to be part of it. Now let me just explain the tithe. The tithe belongs in the local church. The Bible says bring the tithe into the storehouse. The tithe has got nothing to do with the law because Abraham, our father of faith. Somebody say father of faith. Now everybody else say father of faith. Abraham, our father of faith. Nothing to do with the law. He tithed to Melchizedek, who was the priest. Melech Tzadik means the king of righteousness. He was the prince of Salem. So he is the peace and righteousness of Jesus. Now, Melchizedek, he said he had no beginning, no end, no genealogy. Nobody knew where he come from. He is a type of Jesus. So Abraham tithed to Jesus. Then what happened is you can skip the law completely. Just take it out of your Bible if you wish. Then we jump over to Matthew 23:23, when Jesus said, you tithe on your mint and your anise and your cumin. He said, when you should have considered the weightier matter of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faith. He said, this you should have done without leaving the other undone. So Jesus confirmed the tithe comes to him and in the book of Hebrews as well. Okay, my point is this. In your soul, in your intellect, tithing is difficult because you're thinking of the flesh. In your spirit, man, the tithe is easy because you're going, yay! Agreeing with the truth, with the word. Agreeing with your spirit because you have a generous spirit. So this is why you can tell. It is a spiritual act and the act of a champion. Abraham tithed. When he came back after winning the Super Bowl, he tithed. Well, that's about the nearest thing you're ever going to get in America to. Thanks, Xavier. Glad you're here this morning, mate. You get my drift? We call champions people who win the Super Bowl. Abraham just went out to battle, for God's sake, with 400 and something of his own personally trained servants. Beat them. Killed the enemy. And came back victorious and gave a tenth of everything he earned to Jesus. And so these things are important. And I'm saying this and I'm going to keep saying this Because I know some of you struggle with the tithe, and I just want to encourage you. You will possibly keep struggling into spiritual things, because if you can't trust God financially, then how can you trust Him with everything else in your world? Because let's face it, folks, if anybody asks you ever in your life, who are you? Oh, I'm Vaughan. What do you do? Isn't that nearly always a second question? With me, it's where you're from. But it's nearly always, what do you do? And then we identify who we are with what we do. Why do we do that? Because we love to do it? No, because we need the money. Come on, somebody, stay with me this morning. We do this job because we need the money. Very rarely, I don't know too many people that wake up and go, oh, thank God it's Monday. I hate the weekend. God, man, no, I haven't been to work since Friday. I hate weekends. You think about it. I would say that the vast majority of us go to work for the money, not for the joy. The joy comes in your spirit. And your spirit man saying, for God's sake, will you lot start tithing so you can get God on your side? And so there it goes. There's the battle. It's nothing to do with money. It's everything to do with a trust issue. It's a trust issue. What you're saying, when you don't tithe, you're saying to God, I don't trust you. That's what you're saying. Let's be real this morning. That's what you're saying. You're looking God in the eye and say, thank God I can trust you with my soul. You're going to take me to heaven. But on this earth, I don't trust you. Is there anything else? It's what it is. So anyway, I'm only trying to do this because it has so much to do with the move of God in your own individual life when you get set free from that fear and that bondage of finances. So let's give thanks. Father, I just want to thank you as the ushers come forth. I want to thank you, Lord, for your tithes. I thank you, Lord, for your first fruits. I thank you, Lord, for the offerings of those who are not yet members of this church. And I thank you, Lord, that we put it to good use in India, good use in Africa, good use in the nations of the world, good use in this community, because we care about everything. We care about Kingston. We care about Saugerties. We care about Newports. We care about everything in this area. We care about our nation and the nations of the world. And we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen. You are blessed. Hallelujah. So we really appreciate you giving. While your offering's coming around, I just want to encourage you. The Lord spoke to us again last night about fasting, because we fasted before this move of God. Remember, in January we called a fast, and then Roy called, and Roy came, and Roy called Steve, and Steve came. If you don't know, Steve has moved to Kingston. He's now living in Kingston. So he is with us, he is part of this team, he's part of this house, he's part of what God's doing. And we all, some of us felt that the Lord is speaking to us again about fasting. If you've never, don't know anything about this subject, that's yours. We were talking about it last night. So in fact, you were one that confirmed it, weren't you? A young fella here, I started talking about fasting and God was speaking to him. How long have you known the Lord, Xavier? About 4 weeks, praise God. About 4 weeks. Anthony, come on up here quickly, mate. Anthony, come on, buddy. Jeez, don't tell me you're already getting Christian freeze. Stay bold, buddy. Look at you. You're afraid of nobody, man. Including me, I know. So, here's my new buddy, him and his brother, Martin. Good guys. Is that your sister? Welcome. Glad you're here. I'm so glad you got the looks. Nice, you ain't bad-looking kids, are they? So, I understand you accepted the Lord Thursday, is that correct? What happened Friday?
I came here and I forgot his name.
Steve.
He was hitting people with the power of God. And that was kind of making me nervous. And he was walking around. And when he looked at me, I looked straight at the wall. I wasn't trying to pay attention to him. And he said, oh, yeah, you can look at the wall if you don't want me to call you. And he put his foot on my aisle, and I'm sitting there trying to ignore him. And he's like, so how long have you been saved? And he turned at me. I was like, oh, 2 days. He's like, what a God. He said, God wants to touch you, brought me up here, and he's praying, and I passed out. I got to see some amazing things.
Praise God. Let's give thanks for guys like this. We thank God for you, Anthony. Bless you, man. So you can call it what you like. You can have all the doubts and suspicions you like. We know what's real. We know how it's revolutionized lives here. We know how it's given back a first people's love for God. It's been awesome. Awesome. Look at our musicians. Our musicians get here at 5 o'clock in the evening. And some Elaine the other night, was it, when was it? This week?
Wednesday.
She played till 10:30 at night, was it? She played for 5 hours. Didn't even have a stall. She stood there all that time. And of course, she's, as you know, married with 7 kids. So I don't know what anybody else's excuse is, but anyway, it's not the point. So, fasting. Who wants one of these? Raise your hand. Pass me on, Xavier. So I just want to encourage all these things. We want to release the children now. I don't want you to miss an opportunity in your life. Like Anthony said, you know, I mean, these are tough dudes. These are not like, I'm glad they're my friends now. And like he says, you know, when the Spirit of God starts moving, let's look at the wall. You know, and that's not an unusual. Now, can I say this? How many of us have been saved such a long time and still not been introduced to the things of the Spirit? So, children, we love you. You're released. Slowly, slowly does it, guys. No running around here unless your name's Tony. And we appreciate our children. Really appreciate all our Sunday school workers. You are blessed. Yes, you are. There's just been so many testimonies that I thought the few we've got was pretty good. So my buddy Xavier is still handing out. Who needs a fasting sheet? Lift your hand. Here we go, some there. And just about enough to go around. Praise God. Okay, let's turn in the Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Sunday mornings, we're not going to try and take too long because we have other meetings in the week where the Holy Spirit can minister to us. But we will probably go a little longer than we used to. Praise God. Let's turn there in our Bibles to Luke chapter 4. A very common text to those who know and understand and appreciate the Holy Spirit. Just like to remind you how easy it is for us to understand a father. Now, of course, many of us had bad fathers, so therefore now we're talking about a heavenly father. We can cringe. Other of us had really good fathers. Like my daughters think that. So there you go. Do what you like with that statement. That's their opinion, and you can't change it. And so the thing is, but even with a good father, it's peanuts compared with your heavenly father. It's a father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And these things are essential to grasp. The fact that you must remember that God fathered the whole earth, and then Satan stole the whole earth. That's why the Bible is still today. It's still called this present evil age. This is why without a spirit relationship with God, you're not going to understand the kingdom of God. So what happened is, now try and grasp this. Jesus, again, fairly easy to comprehend because he was a man born the same as all of us, walked the earth totally as man. He walked the earth by faith as a man, even though he was God. And because the Bible says he laid aside his majesty. He laid aside that, if you read that in the book of Philippians. So therefore, Jesus put on flesh, the Bible says, became a servant, walked as a man, humbled himself, and now he's walking the earth as a man and did absolutely nothing for 30 years. He walked past dozens of blind people, hundreds of lepers. He walked past countless cripples, did nothing for any of them. Walked past a multitude of widows that were crying over their dead son, and Jesus just walked past. So I want you to see this. Many of you may be thinking, well, why about the time when he was in the temple? Jesus didn't even preach in the temple. It says that they marveled at his questions. So he was in there asking the Pharisees questions. Well, what about this and doesn't this and that? So they marveled at his questions. So Jesus did nothing for 30 years. And then something changed. It was time. It was time for the visitation of God to come to this earth. And so then, as you probably know, he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. In fact, if we look at Luke 3, Luke 3:21. It doesn't matter about the overheads. Let's get used to looking at Bibles. Now, when all the people were baptized, by the way, if you don't have a Bible, please take that one that you with you. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." I'd like to say this, that the Holy Spirit is God's approval. Now, the scripture says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus, the purpose of Jesus was to bring many sons and daughters. If ever I only ever say sons, please include yourself, girls. To bring many sons to glory. Now, of course, we think that we go to glory when we die. Well, yes, we do. But before that, we come to glory in the Spirit. Jesus said at the Last Supper, he said, "Father, I have given them," past tense, "my glory, that they may be one, even as you and I are one." See, what God wants to do by the Spirit is invite you into the community of eternity. The community of eternity. We're trying to build a community of compassion and character around here, but you know, so many people, so many ideas, so many ways. There's only so much you can do. We are going for the whole city for those who want to get involved. And so God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have been in community for eternity. And now they're saying, "Hey guys, you accepted my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, 4, it says, "Those who are joined to the Lord are one spirit with him." The scripture says you cannot be unequally yoked. I need some of you to begin to grasp this. This means that God himself has actually invited you, not just invited you, joined you by his Spirit to the eternal community of the Godhead. That's what happens when you get born again. You are joined to eternity by the Spirit. And these things are very important. If you don't grasp this, then you're always going to try and figure God out in your flesh, in your head, in your own intellect, and that cannot happen because your carnal mind is an enemy of God. That would be a good sermon for me to preach sometime. But take my word for it. It's in the book. All right. He's well pleased with God. Now let's go to Luke 4, verse 1. You can put that up if it's there, then, Ben. Then Jesus, being filled, somebody say filled.
Filled.
Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Filled, led. Filled, led. The book of Galatians says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Galatians 3:26. So these things, now let me say, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Quick one here. Obviously, Greek is the same as us. We wouldn't say for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the toddlers of God. We wouldn't say these are the, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, the preteens of God. We wouldn't say these, yeah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the adolescents of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the teenagers of God. No, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And so a son of God, like Jesus, because remember you're the same Spirit, is a reproducer. My son is now mature, so he's reproduced and has his own son, my grandson. So it's only when you mature are you a reproducer. This is why Christians that decide to stay immature, and I have to say this, it is a decision. It's a decision of the soul to stay immature, because in your soul you keep agreeing with the flesh instead of the Spirit. Is that okay? So therefore, when you're led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So I want to tell you this. One of the reasons why a lot of people, they don't want to yield to the Holy Spirit is you may end up in a dry place and not quite sure what's going on. You might not be sure what's happening. It's because God is trying to get your natural thinking out of you. It took 40 years to try and get the natural thinking out of the children of Israel. You remember that time when they said, oh man, I miss the leeks and the onions and the garlic of Egypt. Now all we've got is this manna. So what they were saying is, man, I remember when we used to go to Five Guys. Ah, the Chinese buffet. God, I miss. And that little curry shop on Broadway. Oh, mate. Now all I've got is God's provision. You see what I'm saying? That's what your carnal mind will tell you. Your carnal mind will tell you that this world is better. Hollywood's better. Television's better. Drugs and alcohol are better. Illicit sex is better. And it isn't. It isn't. And this is the problem. God's provision is always better. The reason is, I would love for somebody to show me. Could you, you know, I'd love to just go some, this is of course impossible, but to go to somebody and say, well, what is the climax, the finality of the American dream, please? What are you actually aiming at? You know, I'd like to go to people that are so wealthy they don't know what to do and say, well, where are you going? Where's all this going to take you? You're a multimillionaire. Well, you're a billionaire. What, Mr. Buffett, where's this going? And they can't, well, I'm started giving billions away. Yeah, I mean, you're an old man now. You know you can't take it with you, and you know you're in a mess. So you see what I'm saying? There's no end to it. And the reality is, with our walk on earth, there's no end to it. But then, bam, we're with Jesus for all of eternity. And it's glorious. And I want to encourage you, because this can only be revealed to you by the Spirit. Remember the scripture that says in 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 2, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But that's an Old Testament prophecy. The New Testament puts a little but at the end. But God has revealed them to us by, not the Bible, by his Spirit, which is what makes the Bible alive. Now, I don't know how to say this. I just feel the Holy Spirit nudging me this. Some people have said, Vaughn, we wish you would record the Bible. Just read it. Because it always sounds different when you read it to when I read it. A lot of people have said that. It's because of the Spirit behind what I'm saying. And that's the difference. It's the same Bible. I'm quoting the same scripture. Same up here. But there's some, because I've got a revelation of this scripture. This scripture is now, not all scriptures, but it's part of me. Why do you think Paul called it my gospel? He called it my gospel. You think, you cheeky monkey, man, you never were crucified for my sins. He said, you know, that you, Romans 16:25 is a classic example, that you know, you're really doing well because of my gospel. And that's what the Spirit does. It makes not just the Son of God yours, it makes you that Son of God, that you are now seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that you are seated on the right hand of the Father in the spirit realm. And it's awesome. So, okay, that'll do. Now go to, what was the next verse there? 14. Jesus was filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. I just want to throw in this. In Luke chapter 8, you can read the story of a Gadarene demoniac that was in the wilderness. And that Gadarene demoniac, it says, was led by a demon into the wilderness. Did you all hear that? You see, this is why you need people with gray hair in the Spirit. Because often I can tell whether you're in a dry place because a demon is driving you there, or whether you're being led by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And a lot of young Christians can't tell the difference. And this is an essential thing. This is why the scripture talks about us old guys, that by reason of use, we discern between good and evil. Are you being led by the Spirit or are you being deceived? You being led by the Spirit or you being... We had a guy come to us the weekend before I left for India, and in a leadership position, and was telling me that I can't feel anything. There's no presence of God in my life. And he was just going on and pouring his heart out like this. And in the end, I looked at him and said, I know you don't want to hear this, but you're in a really good place right now. He was in a dry place, but he was being led by the Spirit into that dry place to reveal the fact that that dry place was a preparation for the next phase. And look at the next phase in verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, power of the Spirit. And that guy that 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago was, I can't do this, I need to this, that, and the other, is now laughing nonstop, just about, got a grin ear to ear, and is now moving in the power of the Spirit, because I knew he was in a good place, not a bad place. His feelings told him he was in a bad place, because he hadn't yet grasped how to drop into his Spirit. So therefore, in the flesh, he was in a bad place. But in the Spirit, I saw he was in a good place. And I told him, I said, yeah, no, you're in a good place right now. I know you don't want to hear it, but... And then I changed the subject. Because the discussion was over. You're feeling bad? Don't worry, you're in a good place. Okay, what were you saying? Because there's nothing I can do about it when you're dry except tell you you're okay. Or tell you, hey, there's something you need to repent. There's a demon trying to lead you in the wrong direction. And so anyway, one of the hardest things as a pastor is watching people go up blind alleys. And because it's America, they rarely come back. They normally just spend the rest of their life trying to climb up the wall or over the wall of the blind alley, but that's not the point. Okay. Filled with the Spirit. Led by the Spirit, power of the Spirit. And what's the first thing he did? Okay, now we go here. We're still in Luke 4. Uh, 14. Verse 16, let me just read it to you. He came to Nazareth from where he'd been brought up, and as his custom, see this, as his custom, remember Jesus had been going to the Vineyard Church for 30 years and never done anything. Come on, guys. Yes, Sal. Jesus had been going to the Vineyard for 30 years and never done a thing. It was his custom. You see, without the Holy Spirit, that's what church is, a custom. It's a religious practice. It's a philosophy. It's a conscience appeaser, which actually, anyway, it doesn't, but you think it does. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So here we have, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, power of the Spirit, and the Spirit is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we all love these scriptures, and all the people. Now, this is the whole point. This is the whole point about the Holy Spirit. He closed the book, but it would have been a scroll, handed it back, and looked up to them, and they all went, oh, yeah, good old Isaiah. Praise God, that Isaiah is a great prophet, man. Man, he could really see in the spirit into the future, the day, one day when the Messiah will come, the day, one day when I'll be set free, my eyes will open, I'll be led out of captivity, the acceptable year of the Lord, which of course is the year of Jubilee when all debts were forgiven. That's what that verse means. Gee, we're Americans, for God's sake, the wealthiest country in the world. How many of us are in debt? I mean, I've got students laughing here. He hasn't even started and he's in debt. It's ridiculous. You can see the Spirit isn't leading us. I'm not talking about your mortgage on your house. That's I don't know what to call a mortgage. You know, we mortgages are, it comes from the word, French word, mort, which means to die. But anyway. Oh, yeah, it does. Wow. Oh, yeah, it does. M-O-R-T in French is death, dead. Oh, yeah, it is. So you can laugh what you like. I know that's the root of the word. But I understand you don't want to save money for 15 years to buy a house. You buy a house and have a mortgage. I don't have a problem with that. And actually it's anyway, classed as good debt. I know it's an oxymoron, but I want to ask you this. If you're in debt today, it's because you haven't been led by the Spirit for very long. Because my God wants to lead you into the acceptable year of the Lord, which is the year of Jubilee, which is debt-free. And so these things, now this is when I keep trying to get across to people. Please pay your tithe, for God's sake. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about this church, even though your tithe pays for our mortgage, the cost of this building, our salaries of the people we have on staff. I can't understand why people can't grasp. You know, I'll be honest with you. I mean, this it doesn't bother me in the slightest. I've been trusting God since 1979. So the reality is I often think, well, if people don't give anything to the church, they obviously couldn't care less about me and my life. You know what I'm saying? You don't care about me. You don't care about my salary and about my wages and about my kids. And so these things are certain realities. But thank God I dealt with that reality. But I'm just to give you an understanding that there's no relation on the planet, no relationship on the planet that doesn't involve a lot of money. No relationship. Marriage, kids, college, Uncle Sam. It's all about, you know what I'm saying? And this weirdness in people's minds, as soon as you try and tie money in with the kingdom of God, they get offended. Fine, get offended. But the reality is this, is that God, by the Spirit, because we give in faith by the Spirit, wants to give us the acceptable year of the Lord. He wants to get us debt free. And so those who can see it by the Spirit, because if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you just sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap eternal life. When's that going to start? When you die? No, as soon as you do it. That's why Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who's working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, the link there is not, oh, Lord. It's the other way around. It's God in heaven going, oh, Vaughn. You see what I'm saying? He's looking at us saying, well, when are you going to start believing me and telling you to do what I tell you to do? And this is why when we begin to allow the Spirit of God to be our partner in this, that we begin to yield to the Spirit, understand by the Spirit, then these things begin to happen. All right, let's try and wrap this up. I want to take a few more minutes. I didn't think I'd been preaching that long, or was that boring? But I've noticed as soon as we start, again, talking about money, people often, that there's a spirit of slumber tries to get you. A spirit of slumber tries to get you. I don't know if you think that pastors are made of some different, you know, like with blue bloods or something, but and then when, you know, when I try and tell you that we live a debt-free life, you got to remember in 1996, when I was 47 years old, I bought my first house. In 96, at 47 years old, but I paid for it in 7 years. And then I sold it to a man of God who had no credit rating, couldn't get a mortgage. So I said, well, oh, I'll hold the mortgage for you then. No deposit. I mean, that's not good business. But the point is, it's good spiritual business. Because I needed my brother to get some security in his life. And so these things are important. And I tell you again and again, you know, the biggest thing I've ever given away was a church that was worth $500,000. And so that's why all these, that's why I'm not bothered about this building. Because I have a really big seed in the ground. And that's why now we actually own two buildings. You see, and I'm trying to tell you this because all these things are so important. And if you don't get it by the Spirit, you'll argue with me in your head. And once you get into the argument with me with your head, you can't win because the devil is the lord of the argument. Did God say? Yes, he stinking did. All right, let's just try and tie things up. Let's quickly go over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Isaiah 11. I'm spending Sundays to try and help teach the things of the Spirit. Because Steve, I'm not asking Steve to do a lot of teaching when he ministers on Friday night and Sunday night. We both teach and minister. I mean, yesterday morning, I just taught for about 40 minutes. Then we came up, and Alice, my daughter, and Grace, with an acoustic guitar and a djembe, yesterday morning's worship was just off the charts. Everybody was just soaring in God because we are coming into this place in the Spirit that makes an awesome difference. Okay, here we go, he says with his broken glasses. Isaiah 11, there shall come, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Jesse, if you don't know, was King David's father. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Here we go, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. It's talking about Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Now, I want you to see that. Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. They are just some of the spirits of God, but it's actually one spirit. Now, let's go to Ephesians 4, and I'll try and tie this up. So you see that list. Who of us know the gifts of the Spirit? There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, but there's only one Spirit. There we just, in Isaiah, had a list of 6 different spirits, but they're only one Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not a wind, is not water, is not a dove. The Holy Spirit is not just a feeling. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead in 100% eternal community and union with the Father and the Son. And you've no need to fear him. He never speaks of himself. He only ever talks of what Jesus is. But the beautiful thing, Steve said this yesterday, it really rattled my cage, is the Holy Spirit hovers. This is where we need to be part of it. Do you remember when God created the earth that was without form and void? And he said, and the Spirit hovered over the earth. The Holy Spirit, I know, I often see him like he's in the start, you know, in his starting blocks in the Olympics, you know. And he's just waiting. I mean, I can't imagine how that must feel. You've been training for 4 years for this 1 10-second shot. And you can't afford to make one tiny, tiny mistake that's going to cost you a split second that's going to cost you the gold. And that's how I see the Holy Spirit, down in his blocks. And Mark's set. Because the starting gun is in your hand. The starting gun is in your mouth. It's not in God's mouth. You see, what activates the Holy Spirit is the Word. And when it's in your mouth, this is why the scripture says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Holy Spirit's already done his job. He's already drawn you. He's already brought this. But until you say, yes, Jesus, you're not going to get it. This is making perfect sense to me. Is it clear? Yes. Thought it was. So it might be a spirit of understanding. So therefore, the Holy Spirit hovers over us in a meeting. This is why some people can come out, like Anthony just said, and just boom, the day after he gets born again. Other people have been going to church for 30 years, and they're as rigid as these beams. Because they haven't understood the Holy Spirit. And what he wants to do, he's hovering over every one of us all the time. Which is great. That's why he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's what he means. He said, he's hovering. He's hovering. All right, let me just tie this up. Ephesians 4, did I say that? I'm just going to read it quickly. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, have a walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring, here we go, Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, this is a part that I want you to begin to hear. As a pastor in a local church, we get sidetracked and distracted by people's problems. The cares of this world steal the word of God out of our heart. Not only that, we get discouraged. The biggest discouragement in any ministry is gossip and murmurings. So you don't know what's going on, but you know it's going on. You hear this, you hear that, you hear the other. And a lot of it's subjective. If you ever speak to them, oh, well, no, I didn't mean that. And you know. But remember, the people who came out of Egypt could not go into the promised land because of their murmurings. It's one of the most serious crimes in the body of Christ. I've always called it spiritual terrorism. As far as I'm concerned, if you're a gossip, you're a member of Al-Qaeda. I'm telling you that today. If you're a gossip, you're a member of Al-Qaeda. I remember once when I called gossip spiritual terrorism in a church when I used to be up there with Ernie in Greenville, and the woman was so offended, she went to Ernie the next day. Brother Vaughan called me a gossip. He called me a terrorist. She stood before the pastor and admitted she was a gossip and then blamed me. That's my point. Gossip always blames the pastor. They're not going to blame God. So this is the dilemma. And then how can the Holy Spirit be ready to be released over you with that in your heart? How can it happen? Which is why then we make the mistake. Then my guilt kicks in because I've responded to that. My guilt kicks in. And what do? I try and create unity in the flesh. And it doesn't work. You try and put people together through home groups and through this and through that and the other, and they don't have any unity in the spirit. Therefore, there's no bond of peace. Therefore, there is no power of the spirit. So that's why, ultimately, my purpose is this, is in the future, you know, we can't have these things. But thank God the power of the Spirit is driving this stuff away. Amen. And those who don't understand, please, 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 please avail yourself to come and ask me all the questions you like. I had a great experience this week. One of the brothers of the church came Tuesday afternoon. We talked for an hour just about things he doesn't understand about the Holy Spirit. It was awesome. Awesome. It really made me dig too, you know, like, that's a good question. Where shall I start with that? You know, and these things are essential. These things are essential. Oh, I'm going to tie this up because I'll finish it again. Okay, we go the unity of the Spirit. And then it goes verse 4. There's one body, one Spirit. You are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Isn't that great? One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hey. So we've got this 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. Even though there's 3 in the Godhead, even though there's 7 baptisms, even though there's at least a half a dozen spirits of God, it's called 1-1-1-1-1. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended, Jesus, he led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. And this is he who ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended? In other words, he went into hell, then he ascended. Verse 11, and he himself gave some. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay, let me just touch on this briefly. I'm going to teach this in more detail at another time. We go 1-1-1-1-1. One God, one Spirit, one baptism, one faith, one peace, one. It's all one. And then it says, from this one, this unity of the Spirit, he, Jesus, gave some to be. So now we've gone from one to some. Now, I'm one of the some. I'm a some. Some of you are sums. Some of you aren't. Because if we all were sums, we wouldn't be called sums. We'd be called alls. Right? So I'm a son. And in my calling, as has been confirmed too many times, so therefore I don't even embarrassingly have to justify myself. My first call is I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor, and I'm apostolic. Now, Steve also is a son. Roy is a son. Andy Elms, if you were here this week, is a son. And so what God's doing is he's putting all our sums together. Mike Petzer is a sum who will be here in the summer. Leon von Royen, who's coming in April, is a sum. So God's putting all these sum-to-bes together, and we work together. Has anybody watched the way Steve and I work together? Have you ever noticed? Yesterday, the presence of God was so thick here, and I began to prophesy a bit. You remember when it was flowing? I looked at Steve. I said, do you want to take a break? Or so he said, no, I'm ready. I walked off. And then later, in the middle of him saying something, remember he kind of took a breath. I said, And I walked up and he gave me the mic because I wanted to say something under a pastoral anointing. So I stood up under a prophetic anointing, then he stood up evangelistically, then I stood up pastorally. And now we've gone from one to some, and look at where it takes us. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what's going on here now. That's what's going on in this church. And now in verse 13, this is the point I love. Till we all. Till we all. This is why anybody's theology that says that the day of the apostles is over, no, it ain't. The apostles and prophets are going to be around till we all. And now we've gone from one God, one church, one baptism, one spirit, one to some to all. And that's our focus. Our focus is all. That we can all do this. We can all be filled with the Spirit. We can all have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We can all prophesy according to the day of Pentecost. We can all speak in tongues. We can all do this, and we really believe it. Like, really believe it. How many of you know here? Let's try and tie this up on this. How many of you know here? The verse I'm going to put on my tombstone, I've said it a few times, maybe not enough, but it's going to be 2 Timothy 1:9. He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and his grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The only difference between me 30 years ago and you maybe now is I knew for some reason 30 years ago God called me. But I've known for 30 years that he's called you as well. I've known that for 30 years. Whatever your call is, we'll figure it out together. But I just want to encourage you in that thought. And so, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, which we've all suffered from. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. See, what we try and do as pastors is we try and join and knit the body together without the unity of the Spirit. And it doesn't work. Knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing the growth of the body, the growth of the body, the growth of the body, for the edifying of itself in love. I'd like to throw out a challenge tonight, this afternoon, from a young man who is no longer with us. His name is Theodore Roosevelt. Isn't that a great name? Uncle Ted, as they called him. Who was born a very sickly child. Does everybody know a little bit about the history of Teddy Roosevelt? He was not a healthy man, so he decided to do something about it. This was his statement. My son, when he was in the Marines, had a T-shirt with this on the back of it. Far better it is to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to take rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy nor suffer too much because they live in the gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat. I'm sorry, there's not one of us called into ordinariness. Not one of us. Not one of us. We are all called into great things. The fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Why don't we stand together this morning? Thank you, Jesus. I know it might have been a little bit long, but that's pretty good, actually. For these revival meetings, that was just a snippet. Praise God. Why don't we lift our hands? Why don't we just begin to just allow the presence of God? And you know what we're going to begin to do in the future? We're going to make sure that everybody here has had an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So while every eye is closed, let's just lower our hands a minute, please. I want to make sure if there's anybody here this morning, that if you're that one person that has not yet received the Spirit of the living God, if you do not know for sure that you're going to go to heaven, the possibility of driving out of this car park, out of this parking lot, and losing your life in a freak accident, are you sure your eyes will open and you'll be standing with Jesus? You see, hell is a real place. It was never designed for man. It was designed for the devil and his demons. But through man's disobedience, that's where people will go if they haven't accepted that Jesus is their answer. I want to tell you that Jesus took all of your pain, all of your punishment, everything that you deserved was put on Jesus so you can be free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So if there's anybody here this morning that you are not sure of your salvation, if you're not sure that your life is right with God and that heaven is undeniably your final destination, if you're not sure of that fact, I need you to raise your hand this morning. Just raise your hand and say, Vaughn, I'm one of those people who I need to come to you. Thank you, Lord. I thought I was speaking this morning to the church, and we thank God for that. But I also want to take a few minutes this morning because we talk a lot about the Spirit. We talk a lot about speaking in tongues. But I want to encourage you, if you've had the experience of speaking in tongues and yet you still don't feel the Spirit, there's something that we've learned is what we call felt truth. Some of the reasons why I get such an unction inside of me when I preach is I feel what I'm saying. The same as I still feel the passion for my wife after 34 years is because it's something real, something tangible, something undeniable. The power of my love for my wife, the power of that passion. So if there's people here this morning, and I know there are, that you don't feel the presence of God, you don't feel the power of God in your life, I want to pray for you this morning. Who are those people? Just raise your hand quickly. Just raise your hand. You're not feeling the presence of God. I'm not talking about now, but rarely do you ever feel the presence of God. I want you to come forward. We want to pray for you. I need Sean and Sal to come and help me. And see, the thing is, what I want to tell you, but just keep coming forward. If you're struggling with the felt truth of Jesus Christ, just come forward. Bring a friend. If it's a, just walk with them. Don't be embarrassed. We're not going to embarrass you this morning. But we need to see the Spirit of the living God moving upon you. And before we go any further, I also... get some. We want to be able to make sure that nobody leaves here because you're feeling excluded. Now, one of the most difficult things I've found in our country seems to be suffering from acute loneliness. I think we're some of the friendliest people in the world. I think Americans are great people, but there's such loneliness got into people. Whether you're living alone or you can sometimes feel alone in a crowd. I want to pray for you this morning. Now, of course, it's very difficult getting shy people to come forward for prayer. But I'm still going to make that appeal. That you feel down. You sometimes feel depressed. Last night we made an appeal for people who feel depressed. And about a dozen people come out. They admitted. They said, Vaughn, I know that people in the past have judged me for this. But we don't judge people here because we want the Holy Spirit to move and minister to you. So any of those things I've called out, please come forward. Your loneliness, your depression, your sadness. You still have a sense of shame from what you did wrong in the past. We want to break that off you in Jesus' name. We want to break that off you in Jesus' name. Now come on, we're going to wait. There's some people here. We need you to be coming forward. We need God to touch you. We need you to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. Just make your way forward. If you feel shame, if you feel guilty, you know, the terrible thing, when you do something wrong, you're guilty. But when you begin to believe you are something wrong, that shame is terrible. Jesus came, he took your punishment. You are not guilty. The Bible says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've made more mistakes than most people I've ever met, but I have such a squeaky clean conscience, it's embarrassing.